Hey, yo, what's up? It's your boy, sir, of the 2020 Podcast, LLC. Please say the LLC. And before you listen to this episode, I just got to let you know, I need you to stop what you're doing. Go to blkrenaissance.com, and I need you to shop for the culture. That's right. Anytime you use the promo code LLC20 at Black Renaissance Clothing's website, you will get 20% off your order. Off rip. No questions asked. So do me a favor and do it for the culture. Peace.
Hey y'all, it's your girl Sade with Black on Black Rhyme. Step to the mic.
Mic check.
People always ask me where I get my confidence from, and I get it from inside. It's an inside thing, y'all. And when it comes to beautiful skin, I rock with Blendia by India, where her motto is, be confident in your skin. She has a variety of naturally made soaps to keep you smelling good, hair products for long, luscious, healthy hair, and even beard products for men. You know, we got to keep those struggle beards away. So visit blendiabyindia.com and use promo 2020skin to get 10% off your order. Thank you, Blendia by India, for being a sponsor of the 2020 Podcast, LLC. Please say the LLC.
Hey, this is Butterfly of Powerlines Poetry, here to let you know anytime I feel good, I have to look good, so you have to listen to me. Make sure you go to gurudesigns.com, use a 3 instead of an E. The website is great, so you can get something for yourself, and then she makes custom clothes for men too. And guess what? I got a promo code for you. Use 20/20 and it'll get you 15% off of any order $25 or more. You can't beat that. Go to gurudesigns.com.
The self-destruct sequence has been activated. This sequence may not be aborted. All employees proceed to the emergency car at the bottom platform.
Okay, we lit it just like a fuse, so no need to pick and choose. Welcome to 2020, where we do more than interviews. The hottest beat coming through, jumping knowledge on all that you get. A peek at the front of you with the truth that they offer you. Yeah, hands up, we doing it for the culture. To give artists and businesses more exposure. Keeping it real and stay silent just like a boulder. It's about to go all the way down, can't get no lower. Chasing my dreams, know that they get no slower. But if I stay running, I promise they getting closer. More over, success, my older. And if you're sleeping on me, I'm waking them up like Folgers. I told you, coming from the land with the tide roll. Well, we'll be on the whole different vibe though. We like to ride slow and keep our windows tinted so you really can see us, like Stevie Wonder waking up with his eyes closed. Yeah, got the kind of flow that rocked the boat. On my 16s of pounds of dope. And if you figure you can hang with me on the mic, then grab some rope. Matter of fact, better grab some hope while you at it. We keep it live, it's time to tune in. Turn up the sound on what you're using. It goes so hard, I think it's bruising. The show is 2020, no need to zoom in. Yeah.
When was the last time you did some shit for yourself and really didn't feel bad for doing it? I'm gonna go first. Not to sound like a TikTok. But last time I did something for myself was last week. I went and snagged me a 55-inch TV. And it was because I had a crappy day at work. Now I know what you're thinking. That shit sounds petty as fuck. It don't sound like much. But let me explain why it was a big step for me. So, bam. I'm the type of person that when I want to do something, I gather the courage to do it. I convince myself I'm going to do it. And then when I do it, or right before I do it, should I say, I convince myself that I'm doing myself a disservice. I know shit sounds crazy. It's been countless times I wanted to pull the trigger on a decision, or wanted to go somewhere, or want to buy something for myself. And it may be something frivolous, or it may be something major. But because it costs money, I would talk myself out of it and tell myself I'm being irresponsible. And so for years I dealt with this. Buyer's remorse is just an everyday thing for me. So one day I decided to look it up. And research was done on it because I'm still hesitant about going to a therapist. I'm just going to keep it a buck. But I did some research on it. And it turns out the reason that people who buy stuff or hesitate to buy stuff or feel bad when they buy stuff is tied to trauma. It's tied to the idea that you're being irresponsible because you haven't taken care of other things, or you've been in a situation indirectly where priorities weren't met, you know, and money was spent elsewhere, and therefore you suffered the consequences. And I know I just said a lot of mumbo jumbo, so I'm going to explain why that affected me and hit me so hard. Growing up, I grew up poor, cuz like majority of us, I grew up really poor. It was just me, my brother, and my mom. That was it. And my mom was in school. She was an LPN. She's trying to make shit work, trying to make 1 + 1 = 2. So she was working a lot, She usually maintained 2 jobs, you know, going to school and stuff during the day, doing some, part-time work, and then working at night. That's just how we function. So it would be times when my mom would have these fuck it moments, because my mom was in her 30s when she had me. No, that's wrong. She had me in her 20s, her early 20s. My mom had me when she was 24. She had my brother when she was 14. So needless to say, my mom was really trying to make it with 2 kids around the age that I'm at now. And it would be times where she wanted to go somewhere or do something, and she say, fuck it, and she'd do it. She'd go have fun, go and do something, and on the back end, we'd have to, like, eat neighbors' leftovers. I remember several times, like, we'd have to ask our neighbors across the street if they had any scraps. You know what I'm saying? That's what we called it, or leftovers that we can have to eat, because we wouldn't have any food. I remember it was times where my mom would have to play catch up so much that she would have to borrow food or borrow food stamps in order to get us food. Or I remember several times, like, she used to do like Rent-A-Center to get stuff nice, and like TVs and stuff. And I remember we'd have to turn off the lights and sit quiet as they knocked on the door and shit. Like, it was wild, man. And so now, seeing that growing up and experiencing that and knowing what that means, I always second guess myself when I want to do something for myself. Like, convincing myself to go on vacation is a task within itself. I recently did it randomly for my mental health, and I didn't feel as bad this time because I had the PTO. I was burnt out justifiably at work, and so I was just like, yo, I just need this weekend. You know, I need a couple of days. And it was great. But I find myself thinking about the gravitas of it, you know, like, and I had plenty of PTO left over. I had taken care of everything at work. My boss knew like 2 weeks in advance. You know, I don't know. It's just, it's the need to feel and justify that what I'm doing is okay, because there's nobody telling me there'll be no repercussions for what I'm about to do. And I know you think, well, you know, that should be nothing. I make okay money for what I do. I'm doing pretty good for it to be just me. But even like doing stuff for other people, I second guess myself. Like, I have trouble buying gifts for my mom for her birthday because I was nervous. You know what I'm saying? Because I remember last year I bought my mom a Fitbit. And you know what I'm saying? Like a really good one. And she never uses it. She never uses it. So I'm like, man, you know, like, I spent X amount of dollars on something she don't even like. You know what I'm saying? Like, damn, that sucks. You know, I probably should have did something else, you know. And so I feel like, damn, that was a stupid waste of your money. Why did you not do something simpler, you know? And I do that with everybody. Like, it could be like I may need like a pair of pants or something for an event, and if I pay for them out of, like, let's say, I don't fucking know, like, if I go to like DNK and get some slacks, I'll be like, man, what the fuck you doing? For the amount you spent this, you could have went to the Goodwill, or you could have went to like Burlington and got 2 pairs of pants. You're fucking inefficient with your money. Like, I talk to myself that way, and perhaps I need to learn how to talk to myself. And to be quite frank with you, that's just how I grew up. I grew up in household where they didn't know how to talk to people, and that's like a recurring theme in my family. My great-grandma didn't know how to talk to people, my grandma didn't know how to talk to people, and my mom don't know how to talk to people. And you might be wondering what I mean by they can't talk to people. It's a condescending tone, and not to be rude and not to be sexist, but this is just a fact. it is prevalent in the women in my family. Like, it's a condescending tone when dealing with men. And I just felt weird growing up that all the men were raised to, like, callous the shit. But it hurt my feelings, like a lot. And even when I would speak up, I'd be told by the women and men that I was being soft. So the same people that thought it was fucked up would not, like, stand behind me when I was like, yo, I don't like the way this feels. But yet, my family was one of those families that would tell you, yo, we're open door. You can say anything. You can talk to us about anything. And that was very seldom the case. Honestly, like, only about three people I would talk to honestly about how I felt. And what was crazy is majority of this was with the women that was in the church or involved in the church a little bit. And that's the other thing I didn't understand. There's a difference between being mean and just being, you know, stern, you know. And that was definitely being mean in my family, like saying spiteful stuff, gossiping. And, you know, I grew up at first not going to church, you know what I'm saying? Because my mom was young, we were young. If I did go to church, we went to this Baptist church around the corner. It was like our family friend's church. And then after a while, my great-grandmother found out we was going to this church. And she was like, nah, you go to our church because we preach the truth. And if you don't get the truth, you're going to hell. So we packed up and started going to that church. And this church was old school, bro. It's apostolic. It's a thing. It's a lot. So going from Baptist, which is really, for me, it was a lot more love and focused on worship and praise. And, like, it was hands-on. I really enjoyed it. It was cool. I felt good going to church there. And then when I got to, you know, the other church, there was a distinct difference in tone. Like, the kids were even meaner. The families were like tribes. It was like, don't get me wrong, all of my experiences weren't bad. It was just overall, it was poor. Everybody was accusing, like, everybody of being gay, or you had to be pressured into sex. Everybody was fucking. I was privy to a sexual assault at a church event one time involving my cousin, and I was so shook I didn't know what to do. And I've never said those words before, but and I never apologized to my cousin. We don't even talk about it. But she was dating this guy, and they had sex in the room. So it was me, this guy, and his brother. My cousin was having sex with the guy she was dating, and me and his brother was sleep on the floor. And then his brother woke me up and was like, yo, they up there fucking. And so he was like, what y'all doing? And he was trying to ask her to have sex. And, like, he was taking the cover off of him and shit. Like, it was wild, bruh. And I'm sitting here faking sleep, and he's begging. He was just like, yo, just let me put it in. Like, and like for real, it was wild, bruh. And I remember him saying, what you crying for? And that was like, whoa, that ain't it. So, yeah, that happened. And it made me look at shit a lot different, man. It made me look at shit a lot different. And there was a few other instances. And it's long and short, bro. It was so much crooked shit. It's just why I don't fuck with church at all now. I just can't. Like, my mom calls and begs me to go to church and visit. And, yo, I just cannot. I can't. I'm sorry. I'm the sheep that's out there in the brambles, bro. If that's what it is, I'm good, bro. I just can't do it with these people. And then it's just the judgment and all this shit. And it's either my way or you're going to hell. And I just personally believe that it isn't just one path to heaven or idea of heaven. That's just me. I'm not going to argue with you, your mama, and all that. I don't care what you believe. That's what you believe. You can't make me think otherwise. But I definitely felt vindicated and felt right when I left, and shit progressively got worse. And that's all I'm going to say about that. But anyway, I struggle with doing stuff for myself. And I'm always comparing myself to other people. And that's because that's what my family does. I have these two cousins that I love to death. And even with growing up, it always felt like a competition. But I didn't want it to be a competition. I just wanted to be around my cousins because they were my same age range. We did everything together. They were just my brothers. You know what I'm saying? They still are. I talk to one fairly often. And the other I haven't really talked to much, but I still love him the same. And it just sucks, man, that these dynamics change when you grow up. I understand people get families and stuff, but I still hang on to the memories of the past, man, because those were some of the best moments of my life. But nevertheless, you know, that left a mark on me where I compare myself to others. I'm doing fine as a podcast. When I post episodes, I check the analytics because I want to make sure the views and listens are matching with the topics. Like, apparently people like these candidacy conversations. They love the business minutes. You guys love squad goals. And I'm glad that you guys enjoy it. I'm just out here being raw. You know, I used to try and like facilitate so much because I wanted to show things from a particular angle, and I stopped because it was so stressful trying to put on and be something I wasn't. So now I'm just giving y'all this. Just raw talk. And plus, I didn't have any more content. I got a recording session with iRob and No Ankles tomorrow. And I'm thankful, but going back to my point, because I'm a little bit all over the place, I got to stop comparing myself to others. Like, I look at achievements, I look at listenership and deals and all this, and I just feel like I'm not good sometimes. Like, I feel like I'm doing things the wrong way. And I know none of my team is going to hear this, because to be frank with you, I know they don't listen. Because, you know, they have their own things going on, their own projects. But I just wish sometimes that I could just stop focusing on what other people were doing and, like, how much my people appreciate it. I just really wish I could. I don't know how quite yet. Maybe I will one day. I want to be there for my people more who really fuck with me. There's some people that supported me through thick and thin, through good and bad. And when I say good and bad, I mean on both ends, on my end and on their end. And I appreciate them. And I know I shouldn't spend so much time trying to impress people that don't know me, but I don't know how else to grow this platform. You know, I don't know how else to reach others, because you can be as consistent as you want, but that doesn't necessarily draw in more people. People have to get exposed to you somehow, and just, you know, I just struggle with the idea of what I need to do to get more of those people in here. And if you're listening to this, thank you. I fucks with you heavy. It's a struggle, man. Like, this creator's dilemma is a motherfucker, bro. Like, one day you be on high because, you know, like, people fuck with you. Somebody will message you and be like, yo, I listen to this and this shit snap. I went on a triple date the other day. A triple date. We went to go see Wale. And my girl's best friend's husband was sitting next to me. And he was like, man, no lie, I decided to tune into your podcast and I was just listening, and bruh, I just let it play. And bruh, I can't tell you how much that mean to a nigga. I can't tell you how much that meant to me, bruh. That made my day. Or when, like, somebody messages you and be like, yo, such and such heard your stuff. I told them about your podcast and what you've been doing, so I sent them your way. I'm like, what? Thank you, man. But what sucks, and I'm going to be real with you. What sucks is when people are so used to your consistency, they don't give you flowers anymore. They don't give you those words of affirmation that you need to keep going, you know? Stephen Furtick says some real shit. And I know that's awkward coming from me because I say I don't do church. I watch Stephen Furtick a lot because I fucks with him. I like the way he delivers his message. Elevation Church, I fucks with it. But perhaps I should visit that one day. But anyway, Stephen Furtick said, people comment or say something when, A, you have started something, or when you stop something. But when you're consistent, it's silence. And that's some of the realest shit I've ever fucking heard, boy. When you're constantly working or constantly creating or constantly putting stuff out, there, I can't tell you how long it's been since there hasn't been anything on in a week on this platform. I think the last time we did it was for the Christmas break, and that's understandable. But before that, like, I remember, like, in, I think it was like 2019 or 2018, I took a whole break. I stopped posting for like months because I lost the passion. It just didn't resonate anymore. I lost a co-host. Shit shuffled, and I just didn't know how to take it because I take it so personally, bro. Like, everything I take personally, y'all. For instance, my original co-host, y'all might know as Tonda. I usually don't do names, but fuck it, I'm doing names. I told her the plan, we had the plan, boom. She introduced me to people, got me used to being social because I wasn't social. I was very much an introvert because I was not confident in how I looked. I was a bigger guy. I just didn't like the way I looked. I was just self-hatred. Let's just leave it at that. So she got me out and got me into the role of Sir Moore, you know what I'm saying? Helping me develop it. And we were adding people to the podcast and everything, but when we added Black to the podcast, she had a little thing for Black. She used to pick at him, used to flirt with him, all that. It is just what it was. It wasn't nothing. I ain't think nothing of it. And then one day, you know, Black decided that wasn't the route he wanted to go in, you know what I'm saying? After dating, you know. Then the shade started. Then little back and forths and energy shifts. And then I never forget this one time. And forgive me, Black, I'm going to tell the story. Forgive me, Tonda, but I'm pretty sure you don't fuck with me anyway. One day it was just me, Tonda, and Black. We because when we was recording, we would serve food. So we cooked. We sat down. There's three of us. We was recording. And Black made a point. Diffusing an argument she was making that she felt passionately about. She was in her feelings about it. And he diffused it using logic. And y'all know Black, that's what he does, you know. And she got upset and was like, you know what? I got to go pick up my son. I'm going to get up with y'all in a minute. During the recording. And so we stopped the recording. We was like, you know, we'll pick back up when you come back. She never came back. And so she calls me and she was like, hey, you're going to have to take Black home. I can't take him. And I was like, oh. See, Black had rolled with her. You know what I'm saying? She had picked him up and, you know, and all that jazz. Now, I know what you're thinking. You know, what if something was really up with us, huh? Woop-de-woop, no problem. And that's fine. It was the tone of the phone call that let me know that she just didn't want to. So I'm in the car with Black and she's telling me this. And I'm like, okay, that's cool, but don't do this ever again. I said it just like that. Don't you do this ever again. Because one, this is my platform. Two, that's some shiesty ass shit. I don't give a fuck if you don't agree with somebody or not. If you're somebody's ride and they don't do anything to disrespect you, you just don't like the way they refuted your stance. That's some, I'm going to leave that there. But anyway, so I took my nigga home. I ain't even trip. You know what I'm saying? He peep game, I peep game. It just was what it was. I was two steps from releasing that episode, but I said, nope, I don't like the energy behind it. I deleted it. Slowly but surely, We would try to do sessions. She wouldn't show. She wouldn't come. She wouldn't do this. But on her Facebook, she make little snide comments about, you know, people and groups and not being who you think they are and all this other shit. So at the end of the day, I was really stressed out about it. I was trying to see what she was. We'd have conversations. Even had an intervention one-on-one between me, Kay, and her. And, you know, we got it all out in the open. We addressed it. Still didn't feel right. So I said, you know what? I'm already being viewed as the villain. Let's just put an end to it. Because I'm the type of nigga that I'd rather rip the Band-Aid off rather than sit there and just deal with a flesh wound that's rotting from the inside. I'd rather rip that shit off and let's just go. So, boom. I remove her from the platform. She created the 2020 page. I deleted that page and created a brand new one. I reinvited all the people that were, you know, still on. And we've since quadrupled the numbers. Actually, I think we're at like 3,000. We were at like 400 and something. And so I think we've done like seven, almost eightfold, you know, since then. I said all this to say this. Energy is real, bro. Watch who you have around you. And I'm ranting. But anyway, I guess I just had to get that off my chest. Just watch who around you, bro. Like, even if they start with you, don't mean they're going to finish with you. And that's just some real ass shit. I don't claim to be somebody better than I am. I still feel like I'm an ancient nigga who's trying to make and improve myself. So with that being said, I'm gonna manifest a better version of me by saying I'm not an ain't shit nigga. I'm a nigga who's trying to better himself. And hopefully tomorrow I'll be in a more improved version built upon the basis of the previous version. So, yeah, have at that, man. It's Tuesday. It's 8:13. And I just had to get that shit off my chest. I'll holler at you. Peace.
Hey, this is Mystique.
This is Mr. Everlasting.
And this is the Safe Word.
Safe Word. Y'all make sure y'all join us every first and third Friday of the month. Every month. We are in season 3.
Season 3.
Y'all already know what it is, man. Tap in.